Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. This is a famous chapter in the Bible. And it has a beautiful passage. If you're there, I'm not going to preach on it this morning, but look at the end of chapter 40. And this has brought a lot of peace to many of God's children. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 28. Watch this. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? I'm at Isaiah 40, and keep your Bibles open there, because I'll go back up to the top of the chapter here in just a second. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. What a verse when you have the thought, I just can't take it anymore. He giveth power to the faint and those that have no more strength. He says, I'll help you. Look at the verse, it says here, them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And then verse 31 should be marked in your Bible, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And that's a famous passage. I'm not preaching on that passage. I want to take the first part of that chapter this morning. And I would like you to think about this, though. When God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word wait, it doesn't mean just, it does mean to depend on the Lord, but we get the word as a waiter. You ever have the towel draped over the arm and they come to the table saying, what can I get you? How can I serve you? And God says here, those that wait upon the Lord or those that serve Him, He renews their strength. That's very important. No matter what strength you have ever seen displayed, if it's human strength, it has an end and it will fail. Mental strength, no matter how brilliant you've seen them, will fail. All knowledge, genius, imagination, desire, it will depart and fail. We have to seek every day to be filled with the Holy Spirit because our spiritual strength must be renewed day by day. As a child of God, you have to seek God's strength every day. He'll give it to you if you seek His face for it. Wherever your strength lies, unless it is in the Lord, it will one day fail. You're not strong enough. You say, but I'm a person of character and discipline, and I'm glad you are. But you soon learn in life, God can bring you to an end in yourself and show you that you need Him. That's why it's always best to stay dependent on the Lord. I want to just keep remembering, I don't have what it takes. I need the Lord. Now, as we look at our passage, can we go back up to the top of the chapter and look at verse number 1. I love this. I'm going to give you a few thoughts from this, but God wants His people comforted. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You can only be comforted from the Lord as you approach the Bible, believing every word. The Bible is our first source of comfort, and the only reason a Christian does not get comfort from the Scripture is Satan has put doubt in their mind saying, yea, hath God said. And God has said. But whatever gets you doubting the Word of God is satanic. Because if Satan can get you doubting God's Word, after all, if it has errors, which it doesn't, but if it has errors and you don't know where it's at, then you can't trust it and you probably need to find your comfort in something else, and that's sad. You see, as you place your faith in the Word of God, in the words of God, He opens your understanding to His Word and, praise the Lord, He comforts you. We are not Gnostics that believe you reach a spiritual level where you get spiritual understanding that no one else has. That's garbage. We believe God's truth is available to everyone who believes God's words. Through the years then, you read the Bible and you interpret the Bible, not based on your own thinking, but what the Bible says about itself. And that comes with time. You see, I find in the Bible, God says, comfort ye my people. God says, first of all, God the Father is the comforter. In 2 Corinthians 1:3 it said, "Blessed be even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So God is the comforter in the Bible. Then I read in John 14:26, "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you." So God the Father, the Word of God teaches me God is the comforter. Then God the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Then when I read Isaiah, you're in Isaiah chapter 40, we'll go back there. Can you just go over 20 chapters? Go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And look at verses 1 and 2. Keep your finger there in Isaiah 40 because we're coming back to that. But Isaiah 61 and look at verses 1 and 2. Ready? "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God." Watch this, verse 2 at the end, "to comfort all that mourn." Jesus went into the temple and read this scripture and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Our Savior said this passage is about him. And why did God send him? Yes, to die on a cross. But at the end of verse 2 it says, "to comfort all that mourn." The Word of God teaches me that God the Father is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And the Lord Jesus is the comforter. Comfort ye my people, saith our God. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and let's look at these verses here just for a second. Look at verse number 1. This is foundational this morning and I want this to be a help to you. I know some of this is a little teachy and less preachy, but we'll get into the preaching here in just a second. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 1. Watch this. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That verse is quoted in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. John the Baptist is going to used of God to be the messenger and the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, and he's going to use this passage. You say, why are you doing this? Because the first comfort that in this passage, God says, I want my people comforted, and what is the first comforting message that you get in this? What was John the Baptist's message? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Savior has come. God has come in flesh. And there He is, the Lamb of God. I'm not sure you can get much more comfort than that. Your sin can be paid for. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can trust the Lamb of God who has come to take. That's the first message of comfort. John the Baptist fulfills that. Now the mountains being made low and the valleys being brought up, that doesn't happen until Jesus comes to reign. But the first part of that verse, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths. That is John the Baptist's message. So the first message of comfort in Isaiah 40 is first of all about Jesus Christ has come to pay your sin. Christ paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. So that's comfort. There's comfort in that. And God says, I want my people comforted and focus on this. Can I show you something here? Do you see verse number 1? Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Can I teach you about a rule when you read your Bible? The T's are singular. You say, what are you talking about? The, thou, those are singular. The Y's are plural. What are you talking? Ye is plural. Somebody said, oh, I don't like the thees and the thous and the ye's. Just make it all you. You don't want that. The word you is singular and plural and it muddies your Bible. No, you want the ye's and the thees and the thous in there because one is singular, one is plural, and it helps you when you read your Bible. That's why they say, well, you know, I want a Bible where that's taken out and it's all general. You don't want that. You want a King James Bible. And watch this. We speak in slang now, but the English language was at its height when the King James Bible, when God gave it to the world. We have a lot of slang. You know what I mean? We talk improperly. Your King James Bible is the only book in the world that's perfect English and perfect grammar. Do you understand? So, I know we don't talk this way, but let me just, one more plug. Did you know when they penned the King James Bible, they didn't talk this way? They wrote this way. Writing is always more what? More detailed and formal than speaking, right? But when people met people on the road, they didn't come up to people, even in 1600, they didn't say, "Goodeth morningeth toeth thee. Howest art thou, whithersoever thou hast been." They didn't talk that way. They wrote that way. Why? Because it was specific. And somebody said, "Well, I don't talk that way." Glory to God. My King James Bible is perfect. And it's perfect English and perfect. Don't change a word of it. Don't touch it. It's God's words. You want the ye's and the these in there. That was parenthesis. Let's come back to it. Ready? Let's come back. Isaiah verses chapters 1 through 39. Isaiah is called the mini Bible. Okay? There's 66 books in the Word of God, and there's 66 chapters in this one book of Isaiah. And it is amazing how parallel the chapter 1 is with the book of Genesis, book 1 of the Bible, and how chapter 2 of Isaiah is parallel to the book of Exodus. And you can work your way through, and it's a beautiful study, beautiful thing, but Isaiah is called the mini Bible. You say, where are you going with this, preacher? There's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And if each chapter, which it's beautiful to see, corresponds with the book, that book number of the Bible, if there's 39 books in the Old Testament, then what book number is Matthew, the first book of the New Testament? 40, right? What chapter of Isaiah are we in? 40. We're in chapter 40. And it's beautiful that that passage is fulfilled in the book of Matthew when John the Baptist is preaching. A neat correspondence there. No problem. No problem. Now, I don't know that there's anything life-changing about that, but the book you hold in your hands is eternal. It's wonderful. And it no contradictions. Next, when you come to chapters 1 through 39 in Isaiah, stress, judgment, and sin. Like it appears in the Old Testament, God's the same God all the way through the Bible. But in chapters 1 through 39, God is saying, I'm going to spank you. I don't put up with sin. I wash sin. You need to come to me. You need to, and God is giving that order. Just like when you read the Old Testament, it seems like the law is stressed. Then when you hit chapter 40, comfort ye my people, saith our God. Comfort. He changes gears, and it's all written by the same God. Isaiah was used to pen. There's not two Isaiahs. It's all used of God to be penned by Isaiah. Jesus quoted it, all of that. So, 130 years, in 130 years after this is penned, God is going to allow Babylon to conquer Israel. Part of God's comfort is that Israel is not going to die. It's going to make it through this judgment. God wants His people comforted. Before I get into that this morning, let me just show you one more comfort. When you're reading Isaiah in chapter 40, God says, I want my people comforted. What's the first message of comfort? The Lamb of God has come to take away your sin. What's the second message of comfort in Isaiah 40? Look down at verse number 6. Ready? The voice said, cry. And He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know what the second message of comfort is? That Bible you hold in your hand is eternal. And that should bring you comfort and stability, because when everything in the world is changing, and when people are, society is breaking down. And you've heard me say that with the homosexuality and the transgender garbage. As we watch society change, that book you have in your hand is foundational. It's eternal. It'll last forever. And you're going to die one day. But that book is going to be forever. And God says, one of the comforting truths I can give you is that book you have is eternal. Listen closely. If you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're as eternal as the Bible is. You say, are you sure? Well, wait a second. We don't have time this morning, but if we went to 1 Peter 1:23, we are, when we place our faith in Christ, this is the seed that we're born of. This, we're born of the Word of God. You're born again of the book. And God says, your flesh is going to die one day. All flesh is as grass. But the Word of our God stands forever, and that's supposed to bring comfort, because death, I think, is scary for everybody. Because I've never died before. I'm not mocking it this morning. But what scares us? The unknown, right? And God is saying, second comfort, you're going to die one day. Your flesh is as grass. It's going to wither. But the Word of our God stands forever. And if you're saved, you're as eternal as that book. That's comfort number two. Do you see the comfort through the passage? And then when you get to the end, God says, I'm the one that can renew your strength. And when you don't have it anymore, and when you don't think you can take it anymore, I can comfort you, I can help you, and I can strengthen you. What a beautiful passage. God says, I want my people comforted. I want my people comforted. Now, let's focus here in on verse number one. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. If you're God's people, if you're saved this morning, then I don't know of anything more comforting to let you know that He's your God. He's yours. He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. He is your God. He's your God if you're saved this morning. There's supposed to be comfort in that. You see, the whole world belongs to God, but only those that are born again are His people. Only those that are saved. Deuteronomy 20:32 verse 9 says, the Lord's portion is His people. Stay in Isaiah 40. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. If the Lord has bought or redeemed you, that's what the word redeemed means. It means purchased, received, and set free. That's what the word redeemed means. Listen, if the Lord has saved you, then He owns you. That is either insulting or it's comforting. And if you're a rebel, it's insulting. Nobody owns me. God bought you. He paid it all for you. He gave all that He could give. And I love the statement, I belong to the Lord because I'm saved. He owns you. He owns me. And I don't find any insult in that. I love it. I belong to the Lord. The Lord bought you. He has bought you nigh to Himself. He's bought you with His blood. He set His great heart upon you, and He has loved you with an everlasting love. And because you're God's people, God doesn't say in Isaiah 40 verse 1, He doesn't say, strengthen ye my people. He doesn't say, protect ye my people. God says, comfort ye my people. Because you're God's people, He's interested in your comfort. Our Lord God is a wonderful and personal God who's interested in our happiness. I'm so glad. There's religions where the people hurt themselves because they believe it appeases the heavens. That's so sad. And the masochism that takes place, I have to hurt myself to make God happy. And I've seen people with chains and whipping their backs. And that is as if God says, you're going to pay for that. Make me happy by you suffering. And I don't find that God in the Bible at all. I find that in paganism, but I don't find that in the Word of God. I'm not trying to slam Catholics this morning, but it's sad to see them whip themselves. Have you ever seen the bloody knees of the Catholic Church stairs in Mexico? Where they walk miles, move a knee, and then go through the rosary and move a knee again. And they'll walk 2 and 3 miles to the church on their knees. And by the time they get to the stairs, it's bloody all the way up. And then they feel, I have done sacrifice for my God. As if God says, suffer! Pay for that! And they really think they're doing penance and punishment for their sin. And it's so sad. You don't have to live that way. Jesus was He suffered and was tortured to death in your place on the cross 2,000 years ago. God wants you, I hate to say, I'm not saying don't worry, be happy, but God is interested in your comfort and your happiness. Because of what Jesus went through for us. God doesn't say, make yourself bleed. Whip yourself. That's so sad. That's so sad. So pagan. You see, this morning, I find that it's not spiritual to be unhappy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. One of the glories of Christianity is that we're able to say, like he says in Habakkuk, listen, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. So he's saying, if my crops fail, if my animals fail, if my business fails, then in Habakkuk 3:18 he says, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He'll make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. You say, why are you saying this? Because I find God wants us happy. And there's nothing spiritual about walking around depressed. What did Jesus say? When you come out of the closet, wash your face, and don't let anybody know that you're fasting. You say, but I cry in the prayer closet too, but I don't come out and I didn't greet people at the door this morning. Good morning.
Welcome to Gospel Light Baptist Church.
What are you so sad?
Well, I've been praying. So many things wrong in the world. Good morning. Go in there, sit down, hope you enjoy breakfast. God bless you.
There's nothing spiritual about being depressed. God says, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. I'm interested in your happiness. You see, who is God commanding, first of all, this morning? Who is He commanding? I think, first of all, He's commanding the pastors and preachers of the Word of God. As a pastor, I'm commanded by God to preach the Word of God. I'm commanded to reprove and rebuke and exhort, but I am also, I believe, commanded by God to comfort His people. And I can't comfort anybody without God's Word. Nor would I try. Nor would I try. I don't have what it takes to meet people's needs. From our text, I can remind you, I told you, comfort number one is Jesus Christ has come to pay your sin debt. If you've trusted Him, just think about it just for a second. I'm forgiven. The things that haunted me before I got saved, they're all gone. I remember them, but the Lord doesn't. I'm forgiven. That's supposed to have comfort. That's supposed to have a measure of comfort for our people. I know that the Bible is permanent. Praise God, it's eternal. Nothing will change the Word of God. The Lord is my portion and my inheritance. Can I just have you see something this morning? I'll read you a few passages, but keep your finger in Isaiah. Would you go to Numbers chapter 18? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible. Go to Numbers chapter 18. I know this is a short verse, but I'm trying to share with you some comforting truths that mean a lot to me as a child of God this morning. And maybe you can go back and look, but Numbers chapter 18 and look at verse number 20. Ready? God says here, Numbers 18 and verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. You say, well, preacher, that's talking about Aaron, the high priest in Israel, so that's talking to a priest. Wait a second. When you got saved, God says in 1 Peter, you're made a royal priesthood. You're a priest. Now that you're saved, you've got access to God just like the Old Testament priest did. And God says, now that you're saved and a priest, God says, I am your part. You may not have what other people have in this world, but don't forget, if you're saved, you have me. I'm with you all the time and I'll never leave you. And not only am I with you now, but I'm your inheritance. Glory to God. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I just know this. The Lord will never leave me. And I love this part. The Lord Jesus is the only part of your life that won't change. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know whether you're going to be alive tomorrow, but you know this. God's the same. Those are some of the most comforting words in the Bible. I am your part. And I am your inheritance. And if you feel like you can't count on anything else in the world, you can count on me. That's comfort for the child of God. I can build my life on that book. And He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. Can I read you just a few verses that deal with this? In Deuteronomy 18, it says, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and His inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as He hath said unto them. Psalm 16, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Last verse, Lamentations, verse chapter 3, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. This morning, when God tells me as a pastor to comfort you, I can't think of more comforting truths than what I'm giving you right now. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I think a good preacher is not going to be ignorant. I know you don't come to church to hear about politics either. Okay. I came to hear the Word of God. But what we're watching happening in our world, all this talk about Trump with Russia, well, he's friends with Russia. I'm from that generation too. I'm from the Cold War years. But you mean President Obama can go over to China and want our stuff to be like China and go down to stinking Cuba and exalt a murderer and a serial killer like Castro? And nobody raises a stink, but he wants to make a phone call to Putin, and all of a sudden, oh, with the Russians, are you kidding me? The hypocrisy and the double standard is absolutely amazing. I can't listen to too much news, because it's like, people, this is so, it's so unbalanced, it's not right. But whatever happens in the world, my stability comes from this book, praise God, not from politics. Never seen such garbage. And I think people should be alarmed. I think you ought to be praying. I hope you're praying for your president. I hope you're praying for him. I think that's our job. I think that's what we're told to do in the Word of God. Let's come back to this. The Lord is my portion. I can tell you this morning, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God says, I make you a promise. When I save you, I'm with you forever. Not because of who you are, but because of who I am. The faithfulness of God, that's comfort. That's comfort. I know the Lord will never change. I know the Lord will never change. You see, it's a wonderful truth to know that you can't lose your salvation. I know I'm saved. I'll never go to hell when I die. And can I just tell you this morning as your pastor, if you ain't going to hell, you ain't got no problems. Amen? You say, how come? Are you sure? Well, think about it with me just for a second. I deserve hell. I'm not going to hell, but I deserve hell. And He paid it. And now I'm never going to hell when I die and my sins are all gone. That's comfort. That's comfort. I can rest in that. I can rest in that. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's comfort. Could I just tell you this morning, based on Romans 8:18, no matter what you're going through right now, I don't care. I do care. But whatever you went through last week, and however many tears you wept, did you know God says what we're getting ready to experience in heaven, those tears are not worthy to even be compared. That's why I don't make the statement, well, don't worry, it'll all equal out when we get to heaven. Oh no, you got it wrong. It's going to far surpass it when we get to heaven. Whatever you're going through here on earth, and whatever you're frustrated and scared and hurting over, God says it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's comfort, and I as a child of God have that. Comfort ye my people. Can we turn this morning to Romans 8:28? Romans 8 in the New Testament there, Romans 8:28. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. No, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But my faith is not in this world, my faith is in the Word of God. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's talking to saved people. And God says, I don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but everything that you're going through, all things work together for good. It may not be tomorrow, but it's going to be for good. That means, Lord, even this heartbreak and this heartbreak, and Lord, when I suffer this way, God says, if you'll just love me, I'll handle everything in your life that you wish wouldn't have happened. What comfort. God, why did this happen? And why did this happen? God says, I heard a man that's dying. He has Lyme's disease. He has 5 children. He's a pastor. He's dying. He got up and taught a Sunday school lesson one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, the worst mistake you'll ever make in your life is asking God why and demanding God answer you. God doesn't have to answer. There's some things you need to trust the Lord for. Why is he dying? He's got 5 kids. He's in his prime. But he preaches from a wheelchair. And that same man said, God says in Romans 8:28, you may not know why, but God says, don't quit trying to figure it out. And trust me and love me. And God says, I'll make it all work together for good. What a wonderful God we have this morning. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. You see, if you're saved, God wants to work through you to encourage someone else this morning. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious and you felt His presence, then God says to pass that comfort on to others. I believe Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people. That's first of all to the pastor. But second of all, it's to you. You say, are you sure? I read in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 John 4:18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Well, I don't get comfort from anybody. I just get comfort from God and the Bible.
God says we're supposed to comfort one another. With what? Good thoughts and scriptural truths. And boy, I had a good time reading my Bible this morning. I love hearing men talk about that. Boy, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. And woo, it was good. And then you hear that, boy, the Lord spoke to me too. What'd you get out of your Bible reading? Oh, wow, God showed me this morning. What'd you get out of yours? And it's what? That's Christian fellowship. That's Christian fellowship. We comfort one another. By what? How we our walk with the Lord and what God's doing. I love hearing how the Lord's working in your life. I love hearing what the Lord did for you last week. I love hearing you testify saying, preacher, I prayed for this and God answered my prayer. That's us encouraging one another. No, the command this morning, comfort ye my people. It's to me, but it's also to you. It's also to all of us. You see, and can I have you, I'm watching the time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 3. I hear people make that statement, and I understand what they're saying. You know, I don't
need anybody. I just need God.
But you won't find that in the New Testament either. But they're trying to be over-spiritual. You understand? And I think it backfires on them. Because there's too much in the verses like this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3. I read this to you, but verse 4 is what I'd like you to see. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, semicolon. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How do you comfort somebody that's lost a baby? I take them to that verse. I'll say, someday, you let the Lord comfort you right now. You seek refuge in His Word. You let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And someday, you're going to meet another lady that's lost a baby. And God wants you to take that comfort that He gave you and pass it on. That's what it says. You take the comfort that God gives you in your pain, and then you pass it on. That's why I love our church. Our church is a mixture of older and young people. And the young people are supposed to be learning from the old timers. When you went through this, how did God comfort you? And it's wonderful to hear them say, stay true to the Lord. Don't give up on God. He'll come through for you. Let me tell you what happened when I did that. Let me tell you how God helped me then. And they're doing what? They're taking the comfort that they went through and God gave them and passing it on. And that's, I believe, Christianity. That's healthy. It's healthy. You see, I think when you're happy, remember that there's someone who is sad that you could encourage. When your cup is running over, you need to find an empty cup to fill. When your soul is filled with joy, try to find someone who's mourning and let them hear you sing and sit by them and try to encourage them. When your foot is on the rock, and show others how to put their feet on that same rock. But you say, preacher, this morning I'm weak and I'm sad. Then go to the great comforter and ask Him to help you, and then go out and comfort somebody else. We look to pass it on. Comfort ye, my people, to me and to you, all of us. I know we don't need to put on a total facade when we come to church, but it's wonderful when you come to church and you're looking to give, because you know, you don't know if you're going to get or not. You're not in charge of that, right? But you are in charge of what you give, a smile, encouragement. You can always give to somebody else. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about care and time and looking them in the eyeball and saying, how you doing? Are you doing okay? And you can always be a blessing, but you don't know when you're going to get. So quit relying on what am I going to get and focus on, Lord, I'm here. Use me. Let me be a blessing. Let me be a blessing. And that, let me be a comfort to somebody else. I'm almost done. When you help each other, our social status is never to be considered. Those with money, I'd like you to take and turn in your Bible to one last place this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Might be giving you a glimpse into tonight's message, but those with money cannot despise the poor, and the poor cannot despise those with money. The divisiveness that's in our society right now. If you voted for Hillary, God bless you. That was in the notes, okay. But if you voted for Hillary, I'm still supposed to help you even though I voted for Trump. you got a duck or pucker. The divisiveness that's in our society right now. I'm supposed to help everybody. I'm supposed to be out to help everybody, regardless of their social standing or who they voted for. Did you do things the way I think you should have done? Careful. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now it's talking to us as a church. And the eye, I'm looking at First Corinthians 12, look at verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. How come they're that way? Every time they come to church, it's the same thing. How come they always talk about that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and what are the others? Long-suffering and when do you yield to the Holy Spirit if you're always around people you like? When do you exercise patience? When do you exercise the long-suffering that says, I'm for you, even when you get on my nerves? Because the Holy Spirit will lead you to love and have joy and peace, but He also guides you to put up with others. And in the context, this is in the church, in the local New Testament church. And the members that are weak are more necessary. I'll never forget when a lady had a mongoloid child. And when she would come to church with her other four kids, you know, and they're carrying the baby, Down syndrome. They find out, and she's, of course, scared. And she told my wife, she said, I'm just so scared because the life expectancy of a Down syndrome baby is very short. They normally don't make it past 12. Some do, but the statistics are against the child. And I'll never forget getting to talk to her. She's holding the baby. And you know what that baby did in our church? When everybody saw what that wife was going through and that couple, they rallied around the weakness and the pain and the suffering. And I remember saying it a few months after that, you know what? Our church needed that. God did that. As much as I would never wish that on anybody, God took something that was negative and brought our church together in love and comfort to be a blessing to each other. The members that are feeble, boy, how come they always got to do that? Boy, they get on my nerves. God says they're just as necessary. And who we comfort, we're supposed to try to be a blessing to everybody. We're supposed to work at that. Comfort ye, my people. This morning, can I just tell you something? If they're saved, they're your brother in Christ. If they're saved, they're your sister in Christ. When you're secure in the Lord and comforted, you're more apt to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why I believe God is interested in the comfort of His people. A Christian that has a grieving and agonizing spirit won't be filled. They're in too much turmoil. They need somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit to be a help to them. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. God's message of comfort. That's the name of the message this morning. Let's pray. Father, please, I thank you again. What a wonderful personal God you are. And Lord, I don't know what everybody is facing. I don't know each need in the room, but you do. And Father, I pray that you could use this truth this morning and comfort ye. Comfort ye.